in the Bible, I find something that may have been overlooked. It's in Isaiah, and it fits right in with the self-awareness or this self-recognition of who you are. Isaiah 43:11. And I'm curious, really, to know how many of you ever heard the very words that Isaiah is saying here. I, even I, am the Lord. You remember that? I, even I, am the Lord. And then this startling statement, and beside me there is no Savior. If there is no Savior, according to Isaiah, who is speaking the word of God, what is he telling us? He's telling us that the only teacher there is your own being. Don't expect a Savior. I am the Lord. Your own being is the Savior. And there is no other Savior than your own being. Unless you know who you are, you're never going to find a Savior. To me, this practically collapses every religion that is looking for a Savior. It's a limited teaching which does not instill the knowledge that the only self is your own being. Nobody can save you. I am is your name. Who can save I am? You see what Isaiah is telling us? He is instilling the teaching that all there is your own being. In Hebrews 13:8, Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. But you see, Christ is you. You, self, spirit, being, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What good is it done in the Bible if it cannot be taught as it is? You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what the Bible is saying. That's what Paul was teaching in the first chapter of Hebrews, the 12th verse. The Father is speaking, and Paul says, the Father speaks to his Son a certain way. And here's one of the ways in which the Father speaks. When the Father speaks, he says, they shall perish, meaning people. But thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Meaning you are the same when you know who you are. While the world marches off looking for saviors, looking for teachers, looking for new insights, looking for new things, we are learning that I am the one self is all we can ever hope to be, and there is no more. And then we are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Always the same. Do you remember Revelation, the fourth verse of the first chapter? If you were in the Revelation class, you heard this statement, and if you read your Revelation carefully, I'm sure by now it has made an impression on you. Christ speaking says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you. The seven churches are the seven planes of existence that are all in the one self, in your being. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. Him who is, was, and is to come. And that was telling you that you are the self which is, was, and is to come. There isn't a single tomorrow that is not already yourself. And if those tomorrows are not emanating into your experience from yourself, they are good and bad tomorrows. If you are in the state of self-recognition, then those tomorrows that emanate into the visible world are emanating from the substance of your being. And then everything that comes is something that already is pure spirit expressing. Now, what can you do with this with a human mind? Absolutely nothing. It means nothing. Can it be experienced? It might be startling for a moment, but it doesn't become a way of life until you realize that it's trying to take you out of your dependency on the mind and the sense world. The mere fact that we can sit here today and view these passages with a certain degree of clarity about their meaning is a sign that our classes have risen, lifted us to a place where we're able to stand and look at truth eye to eye. We're finding that we are not a temporary creature. We are that which is and was and will be. And we know it's not this one sitting in a chair. It's pushing us more and more into the knowledge that I am divine consciousness. I am conscious, and I am becoming aware that my consciousness is conscious everywhere. And that consciousness that is conscious everywhere is my consciousness here. I rest in it. It is conscious everywhere. It has the power everywhere to be itself. And I must only know that here and let it loft me and lift me and swell me and expand me out into the awareness of that everywhere consciousness that I am. There is no place where you are not conscious, for you are the consciousness itself. The frail creature in bones and skin is but the outward expression of our present state of consciousness. But when we're not in a state anymore, when we are consciousness itself, you can see the meaning of God is the substance of all form. Only that substance which God is, which spirit is the substance of form, and that form which is not of that substance is not present. There is no form other than God's substance, and the form which appears and which is not God's substance is a time image that is passing in slow motion. We're not in those time images if we are living in the knowledge that divine consciousness is the I am, that I am everywhere now. I am conscious no matter where you may look or see. But if I were limited to my human mind, I would be just a fraction. The miracle is that we are unlimited to the human mind if we but accept this truth. We are saying within, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. As the Christ could stand before the disciples and say this to the Father, your own self was saying, lay aside the false garment of humanhood and accept self-glorification as the self of God. It's our self. We do not live in truth. We live in the deadness of the human mind. All time is dead. All matter is already dead. All mortality is already dead. We have to step out of the belief that we live in this deadness by living in the self. You do not live in a physical house. That is an illusion. You must live in the self. That must be your dwelling. If you live in the self, if that is your dwelling, then all that flows from that will be the expression of that self. This world in time is a world of yesterdays, disguised as a world of today, tomorrow, and yesterday. There is no expression in tomorrow in this world that is of God. Everything must come to you now from another realm than this world. It will come through your conscious awareness, attained through discipline, that I am divine consciousness. And through that will flow the truth of the kingdom of God, right where there had been a world of human cause and effect. That's the descent of the dove. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, which is, and which is to come, the Almighty. I am the beginning and the ending. Where there seemed to be a beginning, there was none. Only I am was there. Where there seems to be an ending, there is none. Only I am is there. I am the beginning and the ending. And where does that leave you if you are not I am? It leaves you in the second self that has no existence, which is not under divine law. And when you include the you as that I am, you are setting in motion the experience of divine law where you are. That's your Savior. I am accepted appears as the invisible Savior in the visible. Beside I am, there is no Savior. Let's not let our human minds rewrite the Bible, which is the word of truth. Now then, you are that which is, that which was, and that which is to come. And you are not accepting I am identity until all past, present, future is dispelled in the knowledge that it is all the self of you. You see, the veil of time has no meaning now. Where is God this minute? Everywhere. What is God? God is I am. Because God said so. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no other. Where is God now? Everywhere. I am is its name. I am is your name. One and the same. Where are you now? If you accept that you are not everywhere now, you're not accepting identity, you're not recognizing yourself. You're limiting yourself to a conditioned mind, a mind imprisoned in heredity, a mind imprisoned in time, a mind that is unwilling to give up the false ghost, a mind that says, I want to go into higher realms, but I don't want to die to this one. What is the nature of your being? You must be perfect. Are you willing to accept that you are perfect and you can be no other? Or will you still not recognize yourself? The sense mind says, I want evidence that I'm perfect. The soul says, follow me. Be still. We shall give no evidence to a human mind. It has no existence. The self needs no evidence of itself. The self doesn't leap off the highest building to be caught to prove anything. The self has no one to prove anything to. The self does not prove anything to a non-existent human mind. Can you find yourself in time and space? Then you're finding a lie. There is no self in time or space. You see how we must discipline ourselves ever to relinquish that mind which wants to tuck us back into a dying world. A world that has to be awakened to know that it's dead. So the importance of Scripture is that whenever you're faint-hearted, whenever you are unable to fully accept divinity as the only self there is, always the Scripture is a living word within your own being, spoken by the self which is. And as you rest in it, it dispels the temptations of the mind, which the mind itself cannot dispel. You should learn to use Scripture as a law unto yourself, so that you're unwilling, once you understand a piece of Scripture, that you're unwilling to adulterate it, or unwilling to let the mind adulterate it. The scripture is always the truth, and when you know its meaning, if you will abide in it, it will dispel for you all concept of a second self anywhere. To me, Isaiah always has the word, and just to move in his company is to lift us. 44:6, Isaiah. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Right where you're sitting, in a human form, the Spirit says to that mind, you are not there because I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no other mind. Can you accept it? Can you submit to that instant crucifixion which says, beside God there is none where you appear to be? And when you do, you say, well, and who's here? I am. I am he who is saying this to the mind. He who says to the mind only, I am here, that is who I am. I'm not a visible being. And around the corner, someone else has a Bible, and I am saying that to that individual there, and across the sea, and in every continent. I am saying to every mind, I am here, not you. And when you accept it here, you're accepting it there. Because the I am who is saying that to every mind everywhere is the I am who you are accepting yourself to be right here. I am. That I am which speaks into every mind and says, I am the first. I am the last, and beside me there is no other. How did Isaiah know this? I'm sure he came into this world out of his mother's womb. How did Jeremiah know this? Or Moses? Or the fisherman? How will we know it? By the discipline. Before I go out with my eyes open, I must live within, outside of that human sense of vision, knowing who I am. I must recognize myself. I must live in myself and then live out of myself instead of living out of a human sense individual who never was and never can be a reality. Every word then of the Spirit in this Bible is the word of your being, speaking to the human sense mind, dissolving it with the knowledge that only I am. Until, like a pilot, you fly and the clouds do not bother you, you don't stop and say, there's a cloud, I'll go around it or under it or above it. There's a puff of smoke over there and I'm going to have to do something. You go through. Until the images in time that you see are to you just like the clouds of the pilot. You move through this world of images. They do not disturb you. You do not let them chatter within your brain. You don't have to make detours. You recognize the mechanical mind universe for what it is, and you are not tempted to accept it into consciousness as the reality. For behind that cloud is your being. Behind that time picture everywhere is your being. It is all your being, the first and the last, and all that ever will be. You're accepting that there is no second savior. There cannot be a savior when all is God. The very existence of a savior would imply that God was not all, that spirit has a second, that there is something to save. Let's not be saved, let's just be. Before the runners break out of the block, they're poised waiting for the gun. You find a lot of the time you're that way. You're just waiting and poised in the truth, waiting. And as you hold that, you're in the infinite rest. Now when the gun goes off, when the world explodes, when sensation bombards you, you remain exactly where you were. That's the reason for the poise. You don't break into a run. You stay exactly where you were. Nothing has changed. It is I. Be still. Be not afraid. That I is your being. Nothing can ever change. You see why the seventh heaven, seventh world, is a day in which the Father rests. There's nothing to do. When you have accepted identity, there's nothing to do in the world other than know. And then whatever is done will be the Spirit expressing itself, the consciousness being made visible as a form called you, which never initiates its own action, but is only the echo of the infinite I Am consciousness. You are disappearing out of the mind of the world. Your conversation is in heaven. Do you notice there's not an evil thought that can pass your mind? Because there's no mind to entertain one. That's why those who reach some level of this are not in competition, are not striving and struggling to resist or to in some way defend or in some way to attack. You're in the isness of being, where everything is already completed and perfect. And that's how it begins to appear in the outer. The human way is a very slow process of gradually becoming aware of where we are and who we are. You have to pick up the phone to call your friend. But you are the self of your friend. You really don't have to phone him. It's just that in this human consciousness, we have no way of expressing our reality, and we have to fill the gaps with mechanical devices. Your soul is not so encumbered. Your soul has complete expose to everything that exists in the three worlds above. And those three worlds aren't above in space. They're only above in level of consciousness. Right here, your soul has total acceptance and receptivity to the three worlds above it. The fifth world is the soul, the Christ world is the seventh, and the sixth is the spirit. Your soul receives of the Spirit, and it receives of the world teacher, the Christ in the seventh. But all of it is you already. The consciousness that comes through the soul is you, as well as the soul receiving it. You're becoming aware of the wholeness of your being, so that you're not in the world anymore. The world was in your mind. You're in your spiritual universe, and it is you. During the week, if you will rest in the knowledge that time has deceived you, that as long as you live in time, you're living in that which is dead. As long as you live in time, you'll be walking in yesterday. It makes no difference what you do, whether it's good or bad. You'll be walking in a delayed replay of the infinite reality that already exists in perfection. We're stepping out of our yesterdays when we step out of the consciousness of time. And we won't be fooled to thinking that the future is going to be better than the past. There is no future any more than there is a past, because the future is also the same yesterday, disguised as a future by the human mind. But there is your now. And when tomorrow comes here and goes into yesterday, the spirit of you is not changing. It is still the now of you. It is unaffected by the passage of time. It is unaffected by the clouds of illusion called time. Then you are the seed which is taking root. And through that seed which takes root, Christ teaches. Souls open. Truth enters consciousness. And truth, activated by Christ through your soul, releases you from the false vision, the false hearing, the false pain, the false lack and limitation of mortality. There are many movements in this world. Many of them are very good. Don't be surprised when you get a new fancy name. Usually you'll find it's just another way of saying, I am. It'll come to you wearing a nice new suit of clothes, but it isn't there. Only yourself is there. You are actually the teacher of every movement in the world. You're every student in the world. And this must be taken seriously. You must be the invisible of everyone, or you are dead. There is no other life than the invisible of everyone. Maybe we need some more scripture to reestablish that fully. And I'm sure you're going to get plenty of it as you turn to the Bible with the knowledge that the eye that is reading the Bible is the eye that wrote the Bible. There's no second. There's not a word in the Bible you didn't write. There's not a word that was spoken to any prophet that wasn't spoken by yourself. And there's not an ear that was open to the voice that wasn't your invisible self listening. These are the things you must dwell with frequently. till you find your new soul buds are very present, very real, very alive, very receptive. Isaiah is going to tell us again and again the same message with different words. He's impressing on us our identity. He's making us recognize ourself. 45:21. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. I am is God. And there is none else. We've had the word of the Spirit itself telling us that it is the I am of you, and there is none else. But when we try to say it's the I am of me, and stop there, it's really doing us no more good than if we went out and had an ice cream cone. It is telling you that the I am of you is the identity of the universe. Now, what would happen in the next 5 or 10 years in time if this were your consciousness? The very Bible itself tells us. It says that if you dwell in this consciousness, that you will enjoy life eternal, because to know I am aright is life eternal. It tells us that if you dwell in this consciousness, nothing can come nigh thee to in any way offend thee. It tells us that if you dwell in this consciousness, food must appear. The blind eyes must be opened. The deaf ears must be opened. Why? Because there never was a blind person and there never was a deaf person. Not having dwelt in this consciousness, we did not have the substance. The division from ourself becomes the blindness and the deafness. The living in the self, which is not blind or deaf, becomes the sight and the hearing. You know we have not met many on this earth who have lived in I am the infinite being of the universe. And that's the reason we have the casualty lists. But everywhere you find one who begins the day accepting the infinity of being knows that wherever I go today, I already am. There is no one there but I. I have no customers and I have no friends and I have no relatives. I have no brothers and sisters. I am the children that I allegedly brought into the earth. I am all of my ancestors who allegedly went before me. And I haven't died. The forms in time died, but not I. And there is no limitation to where you can carry this truth if you will but give it an opportunity to lift you higher than human mind levels. I don't know what's happening in Santa Cruz now, but some of the students grouped together 2 hours apart, worked at it. I haven't seen any headlines in the papers locally here about Santa Cruz. It was monopolizing the front page. It's gone. I don't know about the fear levels in the city, but I do know this, that when you were doing that, when you were living in the knowledge that only spirit is, you were living in your own being. And your own being does not rape or kill. And when you're living in your own being, the rapist and the killer disappears. Because you're in that which is, right where the world had seen the rapist and the killer. They didn't go anywhere. You simply lived in your own being, and you found they never were there. It may not appear that way at first, but when we learn that, we see the great power that is in one being realized. Now, that's the only Savior, and that word Savior is a very beautiful word. When you're in the one being, which is the Savior, which is the reality, all that the Savior does is being done in you. And it's the Savior who is responsible for every miracle in the Bible and every miracle in the world. That Savior is your being. You can never even estimate what it's capable of doing with a human mind. It would be nice to know, wouldn't it, that there are people walking this earth who are aware of the one being, that you can be sure, for example, that in a certain place called the city of Cincinnati, there is one who knows one being, who is one being. Wouldn't it be nice to know there are 10 or 20 or 50 of those scattered around the world? Well, there are. And we are joining their ranks. And as we come into that awareness, they will become known to you. More and more, you are drawn to that household when you enter that household. You will find them maybe simple people to the eye, but you will discover that more and more of your own self will become known to you. You are merely in the exploration of your own infinite self. Beside you, there is no other. I feel that any more today might be crowding us. I'd rather that we are able to digest, assimilate, practice the presence of I Am, the Infinite Being Now. And I'm sure you'll find that the doorways it opens will make much of our past study seem obsolete. I have a feeling there'll be some questions from today's class. And I assure you that I'll be very happy to respond to you in any way that you put the questions to me. But first, before you do, put them to the I Am of your own being. If you do that, you may discover that you have a great source for many answers right there. Then if you do call me or write, I'll at least know that you have made the effort to dwell in I Am your own way, rather than going outside of being. I'll leave Lorraine Sinclair's schedule up here, and thanks again. I can't say about next week or the following weeks. I only know that we're being taken where we are supposed to be. And I'll see you then.